Good morning, everyone, and welcome to another instalment of one of our Laudit Solicitors podcasts. What we thought we'd do today is mix things up a little bit. Now, as I'm sure you all know by now, my name is Mark Reed. I'm a solicitor at Laudit. I am joined today by Ellis Sweetenham, who is also a solicitor.
Good colleague, morning, everybody.
Fellow comrade when it comes to all things Isle of Wight law, but also with certain specialisms that Ellis has in terms of... do you know what? Why am I introducing you? Ellis, hello.
Good morning, everybody.
So who are you, Ellis?
My name is Ellis. I'm a solicitor at Laudit. I've been qualified for 3.5 years now, and I did my training at Laudit. My specialism is intellectual property, so trademarks, copyright, patents, designs, confidential information, both contentious and non-contentious. I can help you protect your intellectual property around the world. I can also help you fight for it, as well as a handful of other areas, sort of general commercial. But yeah, intellectual property, I could bore your ear off all day.
Yeah, that's your bag, isn't it? That's your bag.
Yeah.
Okay, well look, I think let's just jump straight into it. So we're actually joined today by an esteemed guest of ours, Mr. Liam Chessel.
Hello.
Who is an intern with Laudit through our Laudit Music brand. Liam, hi.
Hello.
Thanks for joining us. So just very briefly, tell us a little bit about yourself, because that'll hopefully introduce the discussion today and what we're actually going to be talking about.
Okay, so I'm kind of like a portfolio musician. I've got like a degree and I'm studying a master's. So I'm kind of trying to learn as much as I can within music. I'm a singer, writer, producer and performer mainly. But I'm trying to get like my foot in the door in like any other area,
yeah.
Which is why I'm interning and learning about music law.
Okay, so do you have any actual interest in the long run in terms of music law, or are you just feeling that it would be really useful for the future to have some form of, some bit of knowledge about it?
I think it will benefit going into other things, because if I, like, I've been looking into going to A&R, so
okay.
Obviously you deal with artists, you probably deal with, like, their contracts and their copyright or clearing certain, like, samples or anything like that, so knowing how to do that would be very beneficial. To do A&R and stuff like that, or
yeah,
like working with artists.
Absolutely. Okay. And have you always wanted to take this career path, or does it change as you get more experience through education and stuff?
I've always wanted to do music, like just anything to do with music.
Okay.
So
I mean, if I'm honest, the reason I'm asking is because for some of our listeners, they may be of an age where they aren't really quite sure as to what they want to do. They may be interested, like yourself, you know, interested in learning a bit about music law, but not necessarily because they wish to have a career in law. And I just think it's good for other people to hear that. I think it's quite standard for you not to really fully know what you want to do. But you do want to get involved in music.
That's... I think if you have a want to career in music, knowing little parts about every single part of music is like beneficial.
Yeah.
Because like this, learning all about copyright and contracts and all of that stuff would benefit obviously multiple other areas as well as myself.
Yeah.
And it's something that's going to have a significant impact on you. Like you say, no matter sort of what area of music you go into, the legal aspects are always going to be important. So being a sponge and soaking up as much information as possible as you can is always a benefit.
And music is like notorious for like bad deals, so it's always quite... Good
well, that's very true. Now, just give our listeners a very brief idea of the sort of tasks that we've given you. I know that you've been looking at certain case law, but I'll let you explain that. What sort of things, since you started interning with us?
So I started out, and I still do, I write articles on like music news every week. So I'll try to find things maybe about like a copyright claim with an artist, or like if... an artist going to court with their manager, or like a label's done something, just anything generally to do with any like entertainment law. I've kind of been given contracts to look through and like analyze, from which now I've written my, like my own band agreement contract for my own band.
Based on that, so that was a useful task to be given.
Yeah, and I've also been given a book to read. I can't remember the name of the Everything to Know About Music Law by Ellis.
Anne Harrison.
Anne Harrison, yeah.
That's right, yeah. Some really interesting points in that book. There's lots of editions of it. And a little plug for you there, Anne Harrison. We don't know each other, but we certainly do want to say thumbs up. Great book and very informative. Now, moving on. You two are going to educate me on a piece of law, or a case, or something to do with some news article or something. I don't really know. I feel like I'm very much in the dark today. So, Sachin, if you can just edit that, please, just so that we can sort of make sure it's smooth, okay? Okay, so yes, I understand that you two have got something you wish to discuss with me. You're going to educate me on some form of entertainment news that's been going on that's rather interesting. And, well, I guess fire away, because I am completely in the dark.
Yeah, so recently some of our listeners may have seen in the news, there has been a recent defamation case in the US. And for all the reality TV lovers like Liam and myself, it's involved possibly one of the most famous families ever to exist on TV. And it does directly actually relate to one of their TV shows.
Ah, interesting. So that's the reason why you both wanted to discuss it with me, because of course I specialise in defamation law as a defamation solicitor for Laudit.
Correct.
Okay. So fire away then. So give us more specifics. We need a bit of background. Liam, do you want to take that one?
Yes, so basically, in 2016, it involves the Kardashian family and then a reality TV star called Blac Chyna, who was dating Rob Kardashian. They had their own show called Rob and Chyna. It was kind of like a spin-off of the Kardashians.
Mm-hmm.
It focused on their relationship and it lasted one season. And then it didn't necessarily get cancelled because they broke up.
Oh, okay.
But basically, Blac Chyna took them to the family to court, claiming that Kris Jenner was a ringleader in getting Rob and Chyna cancelled.
So as a sort of just as a addition to that, one thing that is interesting to point out is the Kardashian family are all executive producers of all of their TV shows. So they've built it through the E! Network, which is a very famous TV channel in the US, and all of their shows are on that TV channel. So they are instrumental in the creation and sort of production of their TV shows.
So just to go back there, so it was back in 2016 when all of the spin-off had happened. Mm-hmm. That lasted for, did you say, like one season?
Yeah, one season.
And then that, so let's just say that was, what, for a year?
Yeah.
And then it got cancelled. So why has there been such a huge gap between 2017 and you guys talking about it now, or sorry, the world talking about it on the news?
I think it's just a case of the court system. So Blac Chyna's case was effectively, like Liam said, blaming the Kardashians and specifically Kris Jenner in being instrumental in the show not being renewed for a second season, and that's therefore caused her significant loss of earnings. I think because obviously the show was intertwined with Rob and Chyna's relationship, I believe the reason why potentially it wasn't raised at the time is because they were then back together. They have a daughter together. And I feel it's probably only in recent years that Blac Chyna has considered her position legally and therefore filed a claim. But the claim is now over. The decision has been made. So we're sort of a couple of years down the line, I think.
Couple of years down the line. Okay, anything further to add on that sort of background point then, Liam?
From reading it, all of the Kardashian clan were kind of in court and they all testified. They did side with the Kardashians, and also an E! Executive also made a statement. They kind of came to the point where it was like, first of all, it was never guaranteed they would have a second season. It was kind of just like, they were going to have the one, see how it goes. But then also, obviously they broke up, so you can't have a show based on a relationship that's no longer in.
Yeah.
And then I think the Kardashians also testified that there was some domestic abuse as well, which made them also like want to not cancel it, but like they were glad that it was cancelled.
Right.
Yeah. So Blac Chyna was claiming that the Kardashians and Kris Jenner had made defamatory statements to the E! Network, which were used as the basis to not renew the show and cancel it effectively.
So give me some examples then. So defamatory statements that were made, such as?
Apparently they used some of like their text messages where like they were talking bad about Blac Chyna.
Yeah.
Right.
It was a claim of the Kardashian family that Blac Chyna had threatened Rob Kardashian, their brother, with a gun, had beaten him up, I mean, the first series of Robin China, their relationship was volatile. It was clear to see. So what she's saying is they sort of exaggerated on that and made claims that would deter any TV network from engaging someone in a TV show.
Okay, okay, that makes sense. Right, so did you say that the decision has now all been made?
Yeah,
okay.
So it was a hearing. The decision was made by way of a jury. I believe Blac Chyna was claiming, I think it was around $150 million.
Yeah.
And she has been awarded no damages. The decision was that...
But that's huge, no damages.
Yeah, no damages. I think that the decision was sort of not clear cut,
right.
But there was some indication from the jury that they did believe certain statements were made, but it's kind of gone down the honest opinion route, and that the connection between those comments and the second series of the show not going ahead wasn't as clear as Blac Chyna was trying to make out to be.
Right.
But yeah, no damages.
No damages. And what about legal costs?
There hasn't been any confirmation about legal costs. I would imagine it's a case of sort of each party bears their own costs, because there hasn't technically been sort of a clear winner and loser. But I don't believe any formal kind of decision has been made on that. But I would imagine it is going to be a both parties bear their own cost situation.
So now to opinion. Now, we need to stress that this is just opinion based on our own thoughts there. Liam, I'm going to come to you. So what are your thoughts on that decision?
I think it was the right decision. I don't really think that Blac Chyna really had any basis to make these claims, because, like they said, like, it's a relationship show, they're not together, and they haven't been together since the show. Since then, not related to the court case at all, but there has also been, like, they've had, like, spats online, her and Rob, which also just does confirm that they just won't ever be back together. So I don't understand why she would claim that they had a part in it. I haven't seen her on any other show at all, so maybe that was the leverage she took. She was
could have there's a reason why she
yeah
wasn't
maybe
on
she felt
show.
Like she was possibly
right.
Like blacklisted, as they say, as to why she hadn't been picked up by any other network.
I think what is interesting to know is Blac Chyna wasn't a TV star before this show. She actually previously was a very good friend of Kim Kardashian, and has had a child with Tyga, the rapper who dated Kylie Jenner. So there has been some history there, but she wasn't a TV star beforehand. So there kind of was no TV career for her to lose. Robin Chyna was the first TV show she really did.
Okay.
So I think her claim in terms of loss of earnings was optimistic, and I think that like Liam said, the reason why I feel she pursued it was because that was the only source of her TV work. Her career didn't exist previously, so she's tried to take advantage of that. I'm surprised it even got to court. I think it's one of those situations that would normally be settled behind closed doors. So it's
interesting. But surely, though, the strength of the family, the Kardashian family, all sort of rallying around together and saying, no, we won't be pushed into submission here, into some behind-the-door settlement, was clear the minute it got to court that they were just not playing ball.
Yeah. And I mean, obviously, Kim Kardashian is currently studying to be a US lawyer, following in her father's footsteps. So immediately you knew it was going to be fought hard. They hire some of the best attorneys in the world, and she trains with some of the best attorneys in the US. So immediately you knew that she would try and fight this. It with the connection with the E! Network, you do think maybe they would have been the ones to try and keep it behind closed doors. But it's a very interesting case to sort of be allowed to be in the public domain for people like ourselves to consider.
Absolutely, and it's actually something, by the sounds of it then, that has been going on for some time. It's not just something that's happened in the last 6 months that they've managed to get a court hearing. So I guess you guys have been following this from the outset.
Yeah, I'm very just invested in like Kardashian, any reality entertainment news. So I would kind of just keep up with it in my own time.
Yeah. So there's exposure there for all parties concerned. I mean, I guess, you know, that's something that is a natural occurrence when you are as famous as the Kardashians.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, you know, the other party there is now suddenly had this huge exposure that's gone above and beyond maybe what she had had before. Do you think that she'll now disappear into nothingness and not really have anything else going on in her career? Or do you think there'll be a big comeback on the back of this?
I don't think there'll be a comeback because I don't think that was kind of like her... She was kind of like a one-hit wonder. Like, that was her thing. She didn't do anything before or after.
Mm-hmm.
But I think she'll always kind of stay in the kind of public eye in a way because she's obviously has a baby with Rob. She is still involved with the Kardashians in a sense. They still get into like spats on social media. So I think she'll always remain in the public eye, but I don't think she has any leverage to get onto like mainstream telly.
No.
No. And then in terms of the legal case, I know her immediate reaction was that she was going to appeal. Whether that will actually take shape, who knows? Sort of.
Well, that was my next question. Yeah. Do you see that? If she's, you know, not been awarded any damages, can you see an appeal suddenly appearing?
I mean, I think she may do.
Yeah. I mean, come on. You know, don't sit on the fence too much.
I mean, her immediate reaction was that, yes, she would appeal. I think it's going to take some detailed legal arguments to appeal.
Yeah, of course.
Just because it's been considered in quite a lot of detail. And as the decision's been made by jury, you sort of limit the legal procedural areas that you could then appeal on. Mm. But I definitely think it's a watch this space. The stakes are high. She was claiming $150 million. So
huge amount of money.
To be awarded nothing is quite dramatic. Result.
I think $150 million is like a lot. I don't think that like it would have amounted to that much in damages in the first place.
Yeah, no, that's interesting. Well, look, I mean, that's actually a discussion for another time, I think, in terms of how they can accumulate, they meaning the you know, the claimant and the legal representative, accumulate such a vast amount of money, certainly when anyone is considering taking action against another party in court, because you have to consider damages, they have to be realistic, they have to be reasonable, and you have to take into account that you've got to mitigate your losses. But like I said, I won't bore you all with that for now. I just want to say thank you both, because you have educated me. I did find it interesting, you told me I would. Any final thoughts that you want to say?
No, just if you've got any questions or you want to discuss the law of defamation in the UK any further, do not hesitate to get in touch. We do have previous podcasts on the subject, so do go back and listen through. But yeah, it's been a pleasure to speak to you both today.
Yeah, it's been good to discuss this quite entertaining case.
Mm. Well, one thing I'll say to you, Liam, is you are definitely welcome. Welcome to come back and do some other podcasts. Everyone, watch this space. We may get the famous Liam Chessel back in the you know, in the podcast room to do some more podcasts in due course. So thanks for listening, and yeah, take care. Thanks.
Bye-bye.